believe he's the God of your breakthrough tonight? Do you believe that he still heals, he still delivers, he still makes a way out of no way? Do you believe in the God of your breakthrough? Yeah, yeah. Hey, hey. I believe you're going to have a breakthrough tonight in this. Breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I live and glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough.
Right. Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Are you ready for a great day in the presence of the Lord? The staff was here at 7:15 just praying in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Man, I tell you, it's been a great day already. It's almost time to go home. No. Okay, here we go. We want to welcome all those watching from on live stream with us. Thank you for being part of the family. It's a Memorial Day weekend. We're going to celebrate our veterans and those that paid the price so that we can stand here today. How many of you realize that freedom is never free? It costs. And people have given up their lives, literally died. Many people have died just so that we can stand here without worrying about the government coming in and taking over. And so we just thank God for that. Amen? We also want to thank God for the greatest giver, and His name is Jesus. He gave His life that we can stand here today. Without the blood of Jesus, it means nothing. Amen? We're not interested in religion. We want that relationship with the Lord. So, Father, today we just want to say thank you so much for allowing us to be in your presence. We just thank you for the blood that allows us, Lord, to come into the throne of God boldly. Now today, God, we ask that we'll glorify your name as we worship. That it won't be just words coming out of our mouth, but it will come out of our spirit. And that, Jesus, will give you all the glory, all the honor. And Lord, whatever your word is for us today, change us from the inside out, that we may be you this whole week. In Jesus' name, and everybody in agreement, shout it! Amen.
I love that you guys are already clapped. This is amazing. Come on, let's go. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I want them back. Sing. Trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
Yeah.
This means war. This means war. This means war.
Come on, let's plead the blood together. Sing out, plead the blood. My soul, oh, I say no, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back,
cause this means war. This means war. This
Come on, let's plead the blood together. Hallelujah. Hey,
I plead the blood,
because the blood changes things.
I plead the blood.
Satan cannot mess with my family because we're covered in the blood. Hallelujah. The blood. Yeah, sing it out.
I plead the blood.
Come on and sing after me. Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Sing it out. You can't have my breakthrough. Declare war.
This means war.
Hallelujah. This means war.
This means war.
If you are going through some type of war, just let them
this
know.
Means war.
Come on and sing it out. Sing, I plead the blood right now.
I plead the blood.
Hallelujah.
I plead the blood. I plead the blood.
Repeat after me. Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my money.
You can't have my
yeah.
money.
Sing, you can't have my healing.
You can't have my
hey,
healing.
One more time. Sing, you can't have my breakthrough. You guys sound amazing. Plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
It's the blood that Jesus shed on the cross
I
for
plead,
you and me.
I plead the blood.
You got to activate it in the spiritual realm.
I
come
plead,
on, y'all.
I plead the blood.
Come on and sing that out. Sing, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Yeah. Sing, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Sing, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Come on, one more time. Sing, I plead the blood.
Yeah,
because this means war. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout. I said, give God a shout if you believe it. Come on, give God a shout, signifying that you will plead the blood in your life, in your finances. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's amazing, isn't he? Whew. Hallelujah. And because he's amazing, he deserves it all, right? Come on, he deserves every last thing in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on and sing this out, my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Just those simple words, sing it out.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Let me hear you sing it, my hallelujah. Because he's worthy of it, isn't he?
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Sing out, you deserve it.
You deserve.
You deserve it. Yeah, you deserve it. deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
Oh, you deserve it. Oh,
you deserve it.
Oh, you deserve it.
You deserve it.
Come on, all of the glory, all of the glory. All of the glory belongs to worship his name, praise his name right now.
All of the glory belongs to
you. Yeah. Because he's worthy of my praise. All of the glory, yeah.
All of the glory belongs
to you. It belongs to you, yeah. Sing all of the glory, Lord.
All of the glory belongs to you.
Come on, I'll sing you deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. Let me hear you sing it. You deserve it. You
deserve it.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
All the
honor,
and all my praise.
All the praise.
All of the glory
and all of the glory belongs to you. And all of the glory belongs to you.
Hallelujah.
And all of the glory belongs to you.
Shout. Come on and give God a shout. Come on and give God glory if you believe he deserves it all. Hallelujah. You deserve all of our glory, all of our praise. Hallelujah.
What a beautiful name it is.
Someone here has been struggling with sin, and you know, this morning you even wonder if God accepts you, and this is what the Lord just wants you to hear. Very simple. Ready? I love you. You just need to hear that in your spirit. I love you. Jesus loves you. You know, it's not the hoops we jump through. It's not our perfection. It's not what we do right or wrong. It's whether we like it or not. And this is the greatest part about his love. It never is shaken. Can you turn to someone and say, Jesus loves you? Come on, tell somebody else, Jesus loves you. You know, you don't know this morning, there's somebody else in here who needs to hear that. They need to hear it from you. So go find five people you don't know this morning and tell them, hey, Jesus loves you. Don't be a snob this morning. Go find somebody you don't know and tell them, Jesus loves you.
Parents, are you over-coddling your child? Are you having issues within your family in raising your children? Listen, we got the class just for you in Step 2. Starting June 12th, we're having a family and parenting class at 7 p.m. for the next 8 weeks. Make sure you come out and learn how to be a godly parent and raise up a godly family. We'll see you June 12th, 7 p.m.
We're starting our annual baby bottle drive. What we do is we take the bottles home, fill it with your change, and then bring it back. All donations will go directly to the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center. If you'd like to see how they impact the community, they have statistics right up the hub. So grab a baby bottle and help make a difference.
Featuring this week, Schuyler County Group with Dave and Charlene Pruitt.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How's everybody doing this morning?
Come on, let's give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords a shout of praise. We have declared war this morning. We've invited in the Spirit of God into this place, and we know where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty and there is freedom. Amen. We want to welcome you to our 9 a.m. service. If this is your first time here, can we just see you just quickly just lift up your hands? This is your first time here. Awesome. Come on, give it up for our first time guests. That is awesome. If you could please just keep your hands lifted up, we have a gift for you in the event you did not receive it outside. Inside this gift, you're going to find a little gift from us, some information about us, but most importantly, on this side of the building after our first service, we want to welcome you to our guest reception. You get to meet some of the pastors on staff, have a free cup of coffee, a donut or so, and just get to know us a little bit better, and we can get to know you a little bit better as well, all right? So on this side of the building, right after our service, please find your way over there, and there'll be people in the hallway leading you to our guest reception, all right? Let's give it up for our guests one more time. Amen, amen. While you guys are clapping, let's clap for Livestream. Livestream, we love you guys. And in fact, our His Tabernacle Ithaca campus is going to be tuning in this morning as well. So come on, let's give it up for them as well. Ithaca, we love you guys so much. All right, who is involved in a group? Yeah, wow, that is amazing. Give yourselves a round of applause. If you did not raise your hands, I want you to turn to somebody that did raise your hand and say, why should I join a group? And they'll be more than happy to tell you. But we're here to live life with you. There is nothing worse than you going through your day, going through your life feeling that you are all alone. That is not the will of God. God wants you to be able to live your life, and we want to be able to live it with you. Amen? So you do not need to be alone in this journey of life. We want to live life with you through our groups. And also, we have a program called Next Steps. Shout Next Steps. Awesome. That means Tuesdays at 7 p.m. This is where you're going to get deeper into the Word of God, okay? Deeper into some things that are going to take you from where you are right here to the next place that you really want to be. You want to ensure that you are equipped with the knowledge of God. We have a great teacher right now, Pastor Chad Spencer. He is teaching you how to go out, how to win the lost for Jesus, how to bring them in and get them saved and trained up in the name of Jesus. So we have so many amazing things going on. If you have received a bulletin, please review that tonight. Make sure that you are involved in everything and anything that you would love to get involved with. Amen? So who all knows that this is Memorial Day weekend? In addition to the Memorial Day, we want to be able to honor all of our veterans. So we have a video for you guys that is going to be highlighting some of the veterans in our service.
if y'all would remain standing, we're going to sing the national anthem. There's a flag back there, and here we go. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
Amen. We are such a blessed country. Can I hear an amen? Amen? You know, sometimes we complain about our country. We complain about our leadership. But I thank God that we live in America. We are a blessed, blessed people. And you know, many of you don't realize how much impact this house makes all over the world because of freedom. Right now, there are five churches that are in Mexico. And you are blessing them, and because of your freedom, you're able to bless them and theirs. And also, the people we hear about from all over the nations that are literally watching by live stream and participating, I thank God for those in the house. If you're in the house today, and you served in the armed forces, if you'll just stand up, we just want to honor you right here, right now, and give our appreciation for your service. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. This is no joke to me. We're able to stand right here because of your service. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Rhonda.
As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, one of my favorite times of the service that we get to give, I first want to take a moment and acknowledge our good friends. Donna Endifon is with us. Her and her husband, Charles, are world evangelists, powerful, powerful ministers, and it's our honor to have you with us today. We love you so much. Thank you for joining us. So as we get to give today, I want to thank you for your giving. Your giving allows this house to be able to do every good work God has put before us. So because of your faithfulness in giving, we can go out beyond these four walls and reach our community, and we can be a blessing inside these four walls also. So thank you so much for your giving. As we have time to fill out our envelopes real quickly, hopefully you already filled them out. It's a good thing to have them prepared and ready. I'm not prepared and ready for that. Mine's not filled out yet, so I'm going to have to run over and do mine. But if you just stand to your feet.
Hold on, we'll let Pastor Rhonda go fill hers out. Here you go. I want to thank the motorcycle ministry yesterday. Wow, what a tremendous opportunity. I think it was near 140 to 150 motorcycles and riders, and we were able to, I preached the gospel yesterday morning. I made sure they heard the opportunity to be saved, and I want to thank God for the motorcycle ministry. If you give thanks, thank them. If you can all stand to your feet. Very good. Whoever worked in yesterday's outreach, if you'll stand to your feet. You worked in yesterday's outreach. Very good. Come on, there's more. Come on, I know there's more that you worked yesterday. Just stand right up real quick. Look at all these folks. Amen. We are a working church, and I just thank God for this house. We also want to give a shout out. Brother, I'm sorry, I forgot your first name. I'm sorry, man of God. Corey, right? Corey? Corey, they traveled all the way from Maryland. They left at 3 a.m. to be at the bike blessing yesterday. Thank you and your bride. Amen. We love you. Thank you for being here. Amen. We also, we're excited because this weekend is, for a lot of people, a quiet weekend, just a family weekend. For this house, it's let's get into our community and tell them we love them, community. That's what this weekend is about, His Tabernacle. Saturday being the bike blessing. Monday, we're in two parades. I don't know about you. I love parades. You know, some people get real grouchy about parades. I love them. Man, there's nothing better than walking behind, and we got a great float this year, walking behind the float, doing the old wave. Just letting people know that, hey, we're where the church needs to be, not in the building, but outside the building. Letting people know that God is good and not bad. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So this weekend, we're just filled with a lot of exciting stuff. And this morning was our first morning of free coffee. How many of you enjoyed your free coffee? Good. The rest of you saved us money. Glory to God. Just know this free coffee every Sunday morning, man, when you come in, grab a cup of coffee and go talk to somebody. Get to know somebody. Don't be a snob. Turn to somebody and say, don't be a snob. Amen. So this morning, we just want to say thank you so much for your giving. It really makes a difference. If you don't understand that, whether you know it or not, this week we'll be busing in almost 200 kids again. Every single week, Wednesday and Thursday, we bus in. Every week, it costs $600 just to rent buses. I don't know if you knew that or not. 600 times 52, a lot of money. That's what we pay every year to make sure these young kids get to hear the gospel. And we're making a difference in this region. So I just want to say thank you. Turn to somebody and say, thank you for being a giver. If you're online, tell somebody, thank you. If you're all by yourself, tell yourself. Look in the mirror. Thank you for being a giver. Amen? Are you ready to give?
Yes.
If you're our guest this morning, we bring our offerings to the Lord, to the front. Let's all stand. Let's make our supernatural proclamation. I don't know. Do you believe this or not? I believe the word of God. It says this. I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering.
I plead the blood.
the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood.
Well, glory to God. I don't know, but I'm happy today. Are you happy? I'm really kind of happy all the time. My wife always tells me, you're always happy. I am. I just got the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. Amen? Man, there's nothing worse than being sad all the time. I'm happy because God's alive. Now, listen, that means if even if hell, all hell is breaking loose in your life, you can still live in the joy of the Lord. That was very weak. You can still live in the joy of the Lord. I just wanted to share real quickly, just a few moments. Every once in a while, you'll see me look up, and it kind of looks weird, because now when I look up, I can see myself looking up. I shouldn't look up. Doesn't it look like my eyes are glowing there? You know what a lady told me? I think I said this to you before. But one day, I wore a black jacket, black pants, and a black shirt, and my goat was a little bit longer. And she wrote a letter and said, you look just like Lucifer. Don't wear that outfit again. It was really kind of funny. I wore it the next week. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm just so excited about what Jesus is doing in our lives as a family. Can you turn to someone and say, thank God for our family. Now, some things we're going to start doing this year, I just want to give you a heads up so you can start getting ready for it, is we're going to make this a little bit more homey. Turn to someone and say, not homely, he said homey. Amen? We're going to start making the house look a bit more homey and a little bit more inviting, and we'll start with the coffee just to give you a little bit more time to hang out and talk to each other, and you'll know why when we get done today's message. But also the factor of how many of you know that the where the pillars are, you know, the concrete that's out there? We're gonna block that in this year. Is that all right? We're gonna block that in, and we're gonna put the doors on the other side so that the foyer will be warmer. I hear all the workers saying amen. But not just that, we're going to put the high tables out there so that you can grab a cup of coffee, go hang out with some folks, get to meet some people you don't know, and just some more fellowship and relationship. The foyer, we're contemplating dropping the ceiling a few inches and a few feet, actually, like 5 of them, and, you know, making it, maybe rugging it or just doing something out there so it's more homey, more of an experience to where we can all just kind of relax. When you walk in, you don't have to go, oh, no, it's cold in here. We can go, wow, I'm home. Can you turn to someone and say, thank God I'm home? Come on, can you tell somebody else, I thank God I'm home? Amen. That's what it's all about, being home. This is God's house. This is your daddy's house. Amen. You know, my kids, they come over to my house on Sundays and on Fridays. And Friday's date day. And so my wife and I usually go to a movie in the afternoon. And sometimes we got to look at our children and say, will you please leave? Because they like being home. Sunday afternoon when they come to the house, man, sometimes they stay 8, 9 o'clock at night, and I'm tired. But you know what? They're home. You see, this is home. Can you turn to somebody and say, this is my home. Amen. This is so important. And so we're going to be doing some of those things, and we're just going to ask throughout the summer as time comes, if you feel led of the Lord to give, that you will, or help. In some fashion, I just believe that we can make this place feel so homey that any guest that walks in, they're going to go, I just walked into Grandma's house. Now listen, no shag rugs. It's not going to happen, okay? And yellow is out. Glory to God. Amen. This is the year of... That was so sad. I said, this is the year of... Divine connections. Divine means that God gives you those connections. Not only is God a connection to you, His Word's a connection to you, the Holy Spirit is a connection to you, but also we are connectors for other people. Now, many times we realize or we seem to forget that it's not just about getting, it's about giving. Turn to someone and say, I'm a giver, just like my daddy. Oh, it's really funny. When you start talking about giving, everyone immediately goes into, he wants more money. Listen, it's not about money. The greatest thing about giving is our lives. And everything about our lives is giving it to the Lord because he longs and desires to have and live through you and I. So today I want to talk about something that really we need to pay attention to. You see, our goal and our job is the same. Everybody in this room. Every one of us have the same call. Turn to someone and say, we got the same call. You know, a lot of people say to me, Pastor, what am I here on earth for? Why am I here? I'm about to tell you. Is that all right? I'm about to let you know why you're here. The Bible says we all have the same call, and it's the verse tagged with our verse for the year, and that is found in Mark chapter 16, and it says in verse 15, and Jesus said to them, go into the whole world, the entire world, and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, every one of us have the same call, and that is to share Jesus. Some of us might share Jesus having a tea. Some of us might share Jesus having a Starbucks. Some of us might share Jesus at our workplace. Some of us might share Jesus at the bike blessing. Some of us might share Jesus during the parade. Some of us might share Jesus at the family picnic on Monday afternoon when you're gorging yourself with Nathan's hot dogs saturated with ketchup and mustard and relish and maybe even a little bit of chili on top. Don't forget the baked beans, that's all I got to say. I've been on a diet and I'm hungry already, just talking about it. My wife said we can come off it tomorrow to eat. So I'm gonna engorge myself. Let's just pray. Lord, forgive me for gluttony. You know what? If I was Catholic, I could do the indulgence thing, so we'd be all set. But it's not gonna work. So I'll just ask him to forgive me before I get there. No, it won't work. I'll be good. I want to talk about this principle called diabolical disconnect. This is the year of... So the opposite is diabolical disconnection. You need to know that the enemy loves to do the opposite of God. God made something great, the enemy twists it. God made marriage, God made sex, God made all these great things, and then the devil comes in and twists them to make them not normal or right or correct. The word is pervert. And so here we are in the kingdom of God, and this is the year of... And in the year of divine connections, we have to pay attention because the enemy is striving to create a diabolical disconnection from your destiny. And this is something that is not to be taken lightly because it's not just happening on a small scale. It's happening internationally. It's happening not just in your life, but it's happening generationally, which I'm going to show you here in a moment. There's a reality that the enemy is not sitting back and waiting for the church to make the next move. He is the greatest chess player you will ever see, and his goal is to kill the king. His goal is to destroy your life. His goal is to capture and to win the game. But I want you to hear me very clearly, is that you and I don't have to be ignorant of the devil's devices, and we can start attacking what he's doing, because let me tell you something, it's all over this nation. We must pay attention. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, confirming, everybody shout confirming? Confirming. The word through the accompanying signs. You see, this is the plan of God, is to create divine connections to where you and I will be powerful people moving in the supernatural, bringing in the lost that they may hear the gospel of Jesus and be saved. That is every one of our call. Every one of us are on that base plane. That is every one of us. That is why you're here on earth. And if that is not a purpose for your life, what ends up happening is we fulfill many other things, but not the real reason that we're here. God is calling us to make a difference. Can I hear an amen? John chapter 13, verse 35 says this, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Listen now, one more verse and you're going to get where I'm going. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. But know this. This is what the Bible's saying. But know this. Pay attention to this. This is a reality. This is a truth. But know this, that in the last days. Now, how many of you know we're in the last days? We're in the last days of the last days. You know, once the Ark of the Covenant was shipped from Turkey to Israel, everything changed. You need to know that. No more than a month or so ago was the anniversary of Israel becoming a nation. You need to pay attention to that. This generation shall not pass away before the coming of the Lord. Jesus is coming. And we're in the last of the last days, and the church needs to pay attention, because if we don't, then this diabolical disconnection will enhance, and you and I will see a mass amount of people not harvested for the kingdom, but a mass amount of people lost to the kingdom. Hell is enlarging itself, and the church needs to step up and be the people of God that we're called to be, to bring them out of hell, bring them out of darkness into his marvelous light. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. The greatest diabolical disconnect the enemy is doing all across this planet, across our nation, and generationally, is he's diminishing love. He's bringing a disconnection from what God has planned, which is love. We all know this, that God is, that for God so loved the world that he gave, he what? He loved the world. So here we are as children of God. Turn to someone and say, I'm God's kid. As God's kid, you and I should be mirroring what our Father is, and that is love. This diabolical disconnect is so amazing to me as he was revealing it to me. As I'm watching, not him running around in a little red suit, but slowly, slowly, slowly eroding the reality of love from not only the world, but also the church. And the church must resurrect the love of God. We need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need a fresh baptism of the love of heaven. We need God to breathe in us all over again, that we will love the way he loves. You see, this is a sad and scary spot. Mark chapter 12, verse 31 and 32 says this, but you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and your strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these. We can wear the nicest clothes. We can have the best breath. We can drive the nicest cars. We can have the biggest Bibles. But the truth is that they will know us by our love. And the erosion that has sneakily slipped into the church has brought us to a place where the church does not love anymore the way we are called to love. We love the way the world loves. If they're good to us, we'll be good to them. If they do good to me, I'll do good to them. Where the Bible says that we're to love those who despitefully use us. We're to love those people that have thrown us away, that have given up on us, that hate us. Listen, Jesus loved people no matter who they were. And God is calling us back to love. I said God is calling us back to love. No, I don't think you hear me. I said God is calling us back to love. Nope. I said God is calling us back to love. This diabolical disconnection is love. Now watch how sly he is. The millennials. Listen, I'm not picking on the millennials. This is what's happened. You need to see this slow erosion. The millennials are young people that grew up on phones. This is their life. In fact, they spend more time conversating with their phone than they do with their mouth. Are you watching a disconnect? It is amazing when you realize how many young people, and listen now, it's not just young people. Some of us older people are getting addicted too. Will you conversate more by texting, Snapchat? I don't have one of those. Snapchat. What are those other ones you guys are working with? Instagram. What else? Facebook. I heard that's for old people. Facebook's for old folk. What? WhatsApp. No, that's because you're from England. WhatsApp is an England thing. It's an international. Here we are. Watch now. I just want you to see this. I want you to really understand what I'm saying. Is that when the Gen Xers started, the millennials really started getting bathed with their telephones and bathed with electronics and bathed in the technological age, what happened was something that slowly started to occur. They were spending more time on their PS, whatever it was on that point in time, PS4s, PS29s, Xbox 69 522s, and whee! They're playing their games, and they're on their phones, and they're texting this, and they're texting that. Here, Snapchat, all this stuff is happening, and what's slowly happening is this, is they're having a strong difficulty. In fact, the research is showing that with a millennial, that 65% are now saying they're uncomfortable with a face-to-face conversation. 80% say they converse and prefer conversations through electronic opportunity. So 80% would rather conversate through a text or through some other aspect of technology rather than a face-to-face communication. Now you're saying, well, that's no big deal. No, I want you to see something, because now we've birthed what's called the Generation Z. And the Generation Z is also the same. You'll find them. They're born between 1995 to 2010. You usually see them with earbuds in their ear. No matter where they are, there's an earbud sticking out of their head. They're on YouTube. In fact, Pastor Chad, I think, was saying the other day that he found a study that said that without YouTube, they would be lost. I was just talking to a parent the other day, and he was telling me he took his child to a concert, and the child literally had earbuds in and was on YouTube the entire concert, never paid attention to the concert. Now, listen, this is serious, because what's happening is we're creating generations that now are having difficulty communicating. When you share the gospel, how do you share the gospel? We're watching this diabolical disconnect happening as the generations that we're now raising up. In fact, they're so brilliant. I just want you to realize how brilliant they are. My granddaughter, before she was 1 year old, broke into my wife's phone. Now, there's nothing more fun than hanging around my mother when it's time to talk about electronics. Grandpa Al's a little bit worse, but we won't go there. My dad in Florida, I was so elated one day, I got a text from my father. I didn't know what to do with myself. It was spelled wrong, but I figured it out. He had his little flip phone. He's punching the numbers in. I was like, wow, you're kidding me. Dad sent me a text. And my ma sent me a text. I was like, wow. Al has never sent me a text. I know you do. We're watching the generations become disconnected with themselves and with people, where they're no longer comfortable talking with somebody face to face. That's why we're having problems in the workplace. And it's not their fault. This is this diabolical disconnect that is one of the wisest moves the enemy has made. I'm not speaking against technology. I love technology. I have an iPhone. I have an iPad. I have a laptop. I have a desktop. And every once in a while, I borrow an Android just to convince myself why I don't need one. But here we are, the issue is not the technology, the issue is this diabolical, this sneaky attack against the church and against the world, to where we're literally sucking our families and our children away from normal communication, normal talking, normal face-to-face interaction. And what's happened is this: they won't share the gospel. No. Older folks, we can't bail on this one either. Because remember when you used to know your neighbors? Remember when you were friendly? Remember when you would have block parties and spend time with people and play cards and, you know, you'd join a group? What did I say? Did I say that out loud? Where you join a group. But you see, what's happened is we've become so privatized that we no longer have relationships with people outside of the individuals that we've had either for elongated periods of time or people that we're just comfortable with. The truth is that God is calling us to preach the gospel to every creature. Some of the creatures aren't all that pretty. Can I hear an amen? Some of us, we don't always like the creatures that are sitting in front of us. Maybe they're a little crotchety. Maybe they're a little nasty. Maybe they're a little ugly. Maybe they're a little smelly. But I don't know about you. The one thing I know is they're still a creature. And when you and I can't conversate, when you and I can't talk, when you and I can't relate to people, what's happened is the gospel is diabolically being stopped. In fact, if we took a poll of the people in the room today and we asked, when was the last time you shared your faith with somebody that you didn't know, very few hands would go up. But if you asked how many of you shared your faith with somebody you do know, very few hands would go up. Because what's happening is many of us have come to this place now where we, in our conversations, we're unwilling to share Jesus Christ. Whether you're embarrassed, whether you say you just don't know how to do it, the point comes in this diabolical disconnect is that if he can get you disconnected from your calling, from your purpose, disconnect you from face-to-face conversations, disconnect you and have you in a place, in a position where you're unwilling to share your faith, then people by droves are not going to go to heaven. They're going to be lost for all of eternity. And yet we're going to have our little connection, our little connected life with our few little people that we've networked with. And God is saying it's time to destroy this diabolical disconnect, to again have a Holy Ghost boldness come up in your spirit and be willing to share your faith with all those who would ask you according to the reason why you believe. More than one amen would be good on that one.
Well, Pastor, I don't know if you can call it diabolical. This is just the age we live in.
Listen, you need to know who the devil is. He is not a formidable foe, but he's not dumb either.
Well, I don't believe in the devil.
Well, I'll just ask him to show up at your house. You'll believe. You just got to have one demon manifest near you, and you'll believe. Man, you watch The Exorcist, you might get freaked out with that, but when the first time a real one exercises in front of you, I mean, you're gonna be changing your shorts. As believers, how can we say this is diabolical? Because remember, with our calling is perpetuated by love. If you saw somebody, in fact, the other day we were in Rochester visiting Mike Taylor. I don't know if you're watching right now, Mike, but I love you. If you're watching from Rochester, we love you. I don't know if he's watching first or second service, but we love you. And as we're up there, there's an Amber Alert comes across about a mother who was killed and the little baby. Now, I don't think the baby was killed. I don't know if they found the baby or not. Still missing. What's amazing to me is how many people will disregard that Amber Alert. Many people do, and it's not even a conscious thing. We're just busy. Come on now, can I hear an amen? We're busy. We're in our world. We're in our life. We're doing our thing. The issue with all of this is that as people that truly love people, people that truly, genuinely love people, we should start being moved in our hearts again. The church world has, listen, I'm not painting the full paintbrush. This might not be you, but if it is, put the shoe on. We've become callous and cold. We're disconnected truly with love, and the love that we have is only the people that we're okay with loving in our groups, in our little life. God is saying it's time for a revival in our hearts. What's a revival? Is a fresh breath. You can't revive something that was not once alive. When you became alive in Christ and dead to sin, our lives changed, and now we're driven by the very nature of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. According to Peter, he says, you have now received a divine nature, that supernatural nature, and we know the nature that our daddy is not the nature of condemnation. It's not the nature of casting away. It's not the nature of giving up. It's a nature that God says, I love you with an everlasting love. I never give up on you. I'll never walk away from you. I'll always be there. And if you call on my name, I will show up at your place because I love you. You see, that's the God we serve. And what's transitioned is that if daddy's love is not burning in our hearts, then we're not going to burn for other people. Listen, if you saw somebody, I pray you say yay. But if you saw somebody getting ready to walk out into the street, they did not see the car coming. Now, we were down in Florida one day. We had just eaten at, what's that? That nice little restaurant over by Starbucks. No, the breakfast place. What's the breakfast place called? Oh, man, it's a great breakfast place. I was going to give you a place to go. We're at this breakfast place, and we're eating, and great food. I definitely sinned. And then there's something across the street from this breakfast place calls Donnie's Donuts. I love donuts. There's just something about a donut. Dunked in a cup of coffee. There's just words that don't describe what it does inside. I know there are donuts in heaven. God created. Listen, we won't even get chunky. Can I hear it? Amen. Woo! Won't even get chunky on donuts in heaven. So, man, you got to cross two lanes. And I had my eyes on Donnie Donuts. I was going to get myself, I just like the powdered, I mean, not the powdered, the sugar one. You know, the all-natural, the sugar one, dunked in the coffee. Ooh. So I saw the vision. And so here we are. We're starting to cross. And Jeff and Julia, my wife and I, were starting to cross the road. And we got across the first section. And, man, I just had my eyes on the prize. And I went, and my wife said, no! And shoo, car went right by. We would have had Pastor Banfield come on down and take care of me. If If I'd have stepped out there, it would have been all over. I thank God my wife doesn't love my insurance policy more than she loves me. Can I hear an amen? Because she'd been sitting pretty. But here we are. She stopped me because she loved me more than the insurance policy. That was a rhyme. I don't know if you heard that or not. But that don't happen often. So let's just ride with this beast. Many of us get so diabolically disconnected that we love things more than we love people. We love our life more than we love people. And God is saying there has to be a resurrection in the church, in the body of Christ, especially in these last days. You see, there is a remnant. And I don't know about you, I want to be part of the remnant. I don't want to be somebody that's watching from the outside, just watching God move. And, well, that was a move of God. Too late, you missed it. I want to be part of the move of the Holy Spirit. And the greatest move of the Holy Spirit is when you and I get baptized in the love of heaven. You see, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was not written for weddings. We read them at all the weddings, but it wasn't written for the weddings. The very first sentence starts talking about, listen, you can do all these things, but if you don't have love, you're nothing more than a clanging cymbal. Just a loud noise. What's happened to many of the body of Christ is that we love our life more than we love other people. And because we love our life more than other people, we don't share the gospel anymore. This diabolical disconnection is so powerful because now the church becomes weak. Why does the church become weak? Because people aren't getting saved. Oh, we all have our reasons, and they're good reasons. You know, we have our reasons. Well, I'm intimidated. Well, I really don't know them, or I don't even like them. Or, I'm just a quiet person. Listen, you can get somebody saved. There was this older lady, man, and she sat in a soul-winning ministry, and the pastor's pushing for souls, and she didn't say anything. She just started having tea at her house at 10 a.m. And she started inviting her friends over for tea. And she would talk to them about Jesus over tea. And by the end of the year, she had led her friends to Jesus Christ. You see, she wasn't out on the streets soul winning. She wasn't standing on a box. You're going to hell! But she loved her friends enough to tell them that without Jesus, you cannot go to heaven. A lot of us don't believe that anymore. We've kind of got sucked into good, bad religion. And that says, as long as you're a good person and you go to church and you can go to heaven. And I want you to know that's not true. There's only one name under heaven while you shall be saved. It is the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, and until the church truly believes that, then we will not be compelled by the love of heaven. When we can look at somebody and say, well, they're a nice person. That's okay, but are they born again? If they're not born again, then they're not going to heaven. And if they die, they're not going to see Jesus face to face, except at the white throne judgment when they're cast into the lake of fire. It's time to have a resurrection, a revival of loving people again. And it's the love of God that's birthed in our heart. It's a fire like shut up in our bones. And we've got to love people all over again. And until this happens, this is why the church at large in America is struggling so desperately. And I just, that can't happen here. See, I believe that every one of us in this room, whether you've been saved 365 years or 365 days or 365 hours or 365 minutes, the moment you got saved, you've got something to talk about. You see, when you truly have an experience with Jesus, it's not, I went to church. Well, listen, the devil goes to church too. Well, I had a good experience. I thought it was really nice. The pastor shook my hand. That won't get you to heaven. When you truly have a an experience called conversion. Repentance, godly sorrow brings repentance, which produces a conversion. When you can, listen, what do they call those? Power? What are those things that you love, that movie? No. Transformers! Listen, get near Sister Carla, man. She loves Transformers. How many times did you see the last Transformer movie? Only 4 times. Glory to God. So this car's driving down the street, and then... When you got converted, you were transformed. When you got converted, you were not the same person any longer. You've got a reason to shout. I was in darkness, but God brought me out. And I'm here to testify and tell you about my wonderful reason to shout. I've been blood washed. I'm a son of God. I'm the son of the King. And today, if I die, I know I'll see him face to face. I've got the joy of the Lord, the Spirit of the living God dwelling inside of me. I'm not weak. I am strong. You see, when you know who you are, you got something burning inside to be able to tell somebody that God is alive and not dead. But what compels us is truly loving people. And man, I tell you, from pastor to pew to toilet to, I mean, we can go the whole ranking. We all got to look at ourselves, honestly. We got to look at ourselves. We got to ask ourselves an honest question. Do I really love people? And I had a pastor on staff one day. She said, I hate people. Listen, from that day, she was actually fired. She just didn't leave yet. She didn't know she was fired. But it wasn't long until I got rid of her because she didn't love people. This is about people. It's about loving people. God loves people. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. This is not a religion. This is about love. And if it's not done in love, then nothing matters. And the body of Christ, we have to have a resurrection of love for people all over again. Because listen, if we don't, we'll never tell them. And if we don't tell them, they're lost. And if you really believe that they don't go to heaven, then it's not just about sharing your religious faith, inviting them to church. It literally is. Stop! If she didn't yell stop, I wouldn't be here. I would have got hit by a car in Ormond Beach, Florida. Across from Donnie's Donuts. You can be so close. You can be so close and never taste and see that the Lord is good. It's the key. Some of us need to ask ourselves a question. And I got a litmus test for you. Are you ready? If you've not shared the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 2018 with somebody that did not know the Lord, then you don't love people.
Well, that's judgmental.
No, it's just real. If you've gone almost a half a year already and haven't talked to somebody about Jesus, then you really don't believe in heaven and hell. And you really don't believe that without Jesus, there is no hope. We've got to have a real understanding. This is not about His Tabernacle Family Church. It's not about Pastor Spencer. It's not about all the things that we do. There's only one thing that we do that really, 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 really matters. Is loving God and saving souls. If you can go the rest of the year without leading someone to Jesus, without sharing your faith, then you've got to say to yourself, why do I not love people? And I guarantee you'll have your excuse, because we all justify ourselves. But the fact is that if you actually believed that they were going to be lost for eternity, you would say something. People die quick. Sometimes they don't even have an opportunity to call out. I was just talking to a guy yesterday. He's getting ready for, I'm trying to remember who that was. Maybe you're in the room. He was getting ready for his high school graduation thing. And he said, there's already, I think he was 62. He said, there's already three or four that are dead. His friends, not like just not the whole class, his friends. How many of you know somebody that's died? How many of you know that somebody that has died young? How many of you know, y'all know somebody that died and nobody would have ever thought? If your parent doesn't know Jesus, there's no greater day to share Jesus with your parent than tomorrow. Actually, today. Because watch, they could be gone tomorrow. How about your children? My kids don't listen to me. Oh, yes, they do. They might tell you they don't listen to you. They might grimace their face, tell you to shut up. I don't want to hear your stuff. Well, don't give them your stuff. Give them the gospel. His word will not return void. We've got to love people. And you know, I just want you to know, I was actually talking to our staff about this week as well. We've got to love people again. We've got to love people like we've never loved them before. That means you lose time. Love costs. Love costs. It costs Jesus his life. It costs God his son. It will cost you convenience. But if you don't love, you've missed the whole premise of life. There's nothing better than loving somebody to life, seeing them change from the inside out. There's nothing more powerful than sharing Jesus and seeing the light bulb come on, and all of a sudden, they're changed, transformed. One young man at the end of service last week, he had a beard, and I went up to him after the service, after he'd accepted Jesus, and I said, can I pray with you? I laid hands on him, and I released the presence, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing he went was, wow, what's that? And I said, that's Jesus. I said, here's one more. God's going to touch you one more time right here. I released the anointing, and he went, wow, does that feel good? He's got a reason to tell somebody, because God is good. Can I hear an amen? He's good to the heart. He's good to the soul. He's good to the mind. He wants to make you whole. My God is awesome. We've got a reason to share. We've got good news that with Jesus Christ washing your sins away, you can be in heaven for all of eternity. Man, God is good. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I'm just going to pray for a fresh baptism of love. Holy Spirit, we can't generate it ourselves because it's not our love. It's the agape love, the God kind of love that you have as you reside inside of us. These are called the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, by a supernatural act of heaven, that Holy Ghost, you will stir within us the love of God. God, let us start seeing people differently. Let us feel differently towards them, even those that rile us up every time we look at them. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we'll be engulfed and enlarged by love. Lord, if they don't know you, that we'll share the gospel with them. If they reject us, God, they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting you. But Lord, at least they've heard. When she yelled, stop, I thank you that I stopped so that I could be here today to preach this gospel to your people. Father, thank you for loving me through my wife. Thank you, Jesus, for loving others through us. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He's awesome. His name is Christ. I'm not asking you to join a church or religion. I want you to know the one who truly, genuinely loves you more than any human is possible on this planet. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you'd like him in your heart, if there's sin in your life and you're not sure you're going to go to heaven and you want to make sure today, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. Is there anyone this morning that would like to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Last Sunday, 6 people raised their hands for salvation, and 1 person gave their heart back to the Lord. They had walked away. I want to give you that opportunity. I'm not going to wait long. Are you here this morning? 5, come on, get your hand up. 4, come on, get your hand up. You want Jesus to wash your sins away. 3, 2, and last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. You know, life is more fun when you love other people. It really is. You know, y'all seeing me? Those who come late, I just want you to know, I'm out in the driveway waving at you while you're coming down. If you missed it, you're late. Do you know why I do that? My wife says, because it's just you. I just love loving people. There's nothing more fun than loving people to life, to where they genuinely know it's not about game. You really care. I challenge you to love somebody this week. Love somebody who's sad. Love somebody who's lost. I challenge you to love somebody who hates you. The Bible says do good to them. Buy them a card. Buy them a gift. Do something for them. Mess them all up for Jesus' name. You never know. That might be the opportunity for the gospel to be shared. Father, I speak blessing upon this congregation. Lord, not my church, your church. I declare, God, that each one of us will lead at least one soul to Jesus this week. That, Lord, we'll be able to plant the seed, water the seed, and bring a harvest in Jesus' name. I declare, God, that hell cannot enlarge in this region because we're going to deplete it by sharing the love of Jesus Christ, the one who gave us all. Lord, let your love shine through us. God, we just thank you for the privilege of allowing you to live your life through us. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Lord, from the most quiet, introverted individual to the most loud, obnoxious individual like myself, there's somebody that we can share your love with this week. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I'm going to have the altar team come around the altar. If you need prayer for anything, they're here to love you, minister to you, encourage you, and strengthen you. If you're a guest, we'd love to meet you in the guest reception room. Have an awesome day. Love your family. Love your friends. Love your enemies in Jesus' name.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail.